I think we're probably looking at late second quarter, third quarter, 2021.
Those words were not well received by the President of the United States. This is Friday, the 18th of September, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, the World Health Organization has its say on the U.S. vaccine spat. New technology aims to help people stay safely apart in Indonesia. Researchers from U.S. universities keep working on ways to sanitize masks and create shields. The worst air pollution in the world is now in the western United States. It is all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Donald Trump Wednesday contradicted a statement by the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on his administration's timeline to provide Americans with vaccinations against the coronavirus and on the effectiveness of masks. Meanwhile, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden laid out his vaccine plans if he wins the November election. White House correspondent Patsy Wittikaswara has the story.
A coronavirus vaccine will be available in limited supply sometime between November and December, the director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention told lawmakers Wednesday. But he said it won't be widely available for the American public until much later.
I think we're probably looking at late second quarter, third quarter, 2021.
Just hours later, President Donald Trump contradicted his own expert.
I think he made a mistake when he said that. It's just incorrect information. And I called him, and he didn't tell me that. And I think he got the message maybe confused. Maybe it was stated incorrectly. No, we're ready to go immediately as the vaccine is announced, and it could be announced in October.
America's response to COVID-19 is a key issue in the November presidential contest, and Trump has said a vaccine could be ready by Election Day. Trump also contradicted the CDC director's statement that masks are proven effective and may provide more protection than a vaccine. In a town hall anchored by ABC News' George Stephanopoulos Tuesday, Trump said the coronavirus would disappear without a vaccine, claiming the nation would eventually develop herd immunity. Herd immunity occurs when a sufficient percentage of a population has become immune, reducing the likelihood of infection for individuals who lack immunity. William Schaffner is a professor of infectious diseases at the Vanderbilt University Medical Center.
The only way you achieve herd immunity without a vaccine is that the virus does it all by itself. Then the virus has to infect many, many people and make many, many people sick, put them in the hospital, and we would have many deaths of people of all ages, children, young adults, and of course, many older people and people with chronic illnesses. No. We wouldn't want that.
Seeking to draw a contrast with Trump's approach to combating the pandemic, on Wednesday, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden laid out his plans to develop and distribute a vaccine if elected.
They include a detailed timetable for when people will get the vaccine, clear delineation of priority of populations to get the vaccine, a specific means and mechanism for shipping and storing vaccine at appropriate temperatures. Two of those vaccines, if they come forward, they have to be stored and shipped at 70 degrees below zero. The division of responsibility at every level of government has to be clear. And I will provide the leadership necessary to carry out that plan.
As some Americans begin mailing in their ballots ahead of the November election, a recent ABC News Ipsos poll showed 65% of Americans disapprove of Trump's handling of the pandemic. Patsy Wittikaswara, VOA News.
The World Health Organization had its say over what's happening in the United States. That story is next. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. India and China call on each other to pull back troops. Thailand's prime minister warns protesters against heightening COVID-19 risks as they plan large anti-government demonstrations for the weekend. U.S. officials and lawmakers blast the WTO ruling on U.S. tariffs on China. Officials in Afghanistan say clashes between security forces and Taliban insurgents kill about 60 combatants on both sides, even as delegates of the two adversaries negotiate peace. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the VOANews.com website. continue on VOA Asia. The World Health Organization's top emergency expert asked on Thursday about contradictory remarks by President Trump and U.S. health officials, saying that it was important for all countries to have consistent messaging for their public. As you heard, Trump took exception Wednesday to comments from the director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Robert Redfield, who said a vaccine for the novel coronavirus could be broadly rolled out in mid-2021 and that masks might be even more effective. WHO's Mike Ryan took issue with what was happening.
Yeah, I think it is important that we have consistent messaging from all levels, and it's not for one country or one entity, or consistent messaging between science and between government, consistent messaging across all of the different topics here. This is complicated stuff. Data changes, information changes, evidence changes. So it isn't easy, and it isn't easy for everyone to be on message all of the time. But what it is important is that governments, scientific institutions step back, review the evidence, and give the most comprehensive, easy to understand and digest information so that people can take the appropriate action.
Ryan implied that the COVID-19 pandemic is far too serious to laugh at it and turn it into some kind of political football.
There's a process of transferring knowledge to people. It's not just shouting at them. It's communicating with them. It's engaging them. It's understanding the confusions. It's understanding their concerns. It's understanding their apprehension. It's about genuinely communicating with people and genuinely recognizing that it's confusing and it's upsetting. And it's something we all strive to do better at. We all need to strive to do better at that. Everyone, politicians, scientists, doctors, nurses, parents, teachers, everyone needs to become a communicator and take that responsibility seriously.
Ryan added that what is important is that governments and scientific institutions step back, review the evidence, and give the most comprehensive, easy-to-understand and digest information so that people can take the appropriate action. Happening now in Asia, a spokesman for President Rodrigo Duterte said Thursday the Philippines is considering allowing more nurses and other medical professionals to leave for jobs abroad, that after banning them from travel so they can fight coronavirus at home. The nurses say they feel underpaid, underappreciated, and unprotected at home. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Indonesia has had more than 220,000 COVID-19 cases, and the country still hasn't reached its peak. Social distancing is an important part of controlling the virus, and new technology aims to help people stay safely apart. VOA's Randy Wikasana reports from Bandung, West Java, Indonesia.
The new software developed at the Bandung Institute of Technology, or ITB, in the Indonesian province of West Java, allows automatic monitoring to ensure safe physical distancing. Yu Ngantri, which is colloquial Indonesian for let's queue, uses a camera and computer to monitor safe social distancing. Anyone who stands less than 2 meters or about 6 feet apart is marked as unsafe. We use computer visions. We have previously programmed the computer to learn how humans stand or sit. Then we program it to be able to detect distance between individuals. It will continue to report to the web, so we can monitor remotely in real time from our computer or cell phone or any devices. Richard, who only wanted to be identified by his first name, is one of the students involved in the research at ITB. He says their software can also give a warning when rooms get too crowded.
Bahaya, kapasitas maksimum ruangan terlewati.
The software detects and counts people who are going in and out of an area. We can measure whether the area is full or in safe capacity for physical distancing. A hall of 500 people capacity will not be able to accommodate physical distancing if filled with 700 people. Yungantri will enable to monitor this in real time. In April, the most highly populated regions in Indonesia enacted partial lockdowns. But by May, authorities began relaxing these measures again, and places like shopping malls and office buildings are crowded again.
We feel like people act as if the pandemic is over. So We think that we need an assistant. Most importantly, is in keeping safe distancing.
The U Ngantri team hopes their invention can help business owners and customers safely distance from each other to prevent COVID-19 infections during the new normal. From Bandung, Indonesia, Randy Wicaksana, VOA News.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Child marriage is on the rise in Bangladesh's Rohingya refugee camps, and the risk of human trafficking grows with every day the pandemic shuts youth services, according to a UN-led study that was released on Thursday. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. Coco Ichibanya, one of Japan's most popular restaurant chains, is on the verge of achieving an all-time salesmanship accomplishment, selling curry to India. The chain has over 1,400 restaurants worldwide. However, owners are now focused on getting a foothold into the second largest nation in the world. Coco Ichibanya is aiming at the middle-class market that's gaining a larger appetite for international food. But it remains to be seen how the nation will react to the chain's own signature curry dish compared to traditional Indian curry that's been appreciated for thousands of years. Devish Srivastava, the assistant CEO of Coco Ichibanya India, talked about how the chain plans on entering the Indian market.
Yes, selling curries to Indian is pretty challenging, but we are not here, you know, competing with Indian curries. So we have a different flavorful Japanese curry, which is a bit different from Indian.
The curry dishes sub out beef and pork for religious requirements and replace them with options such as paneer and eggplant. Customers of the Japanese-style curry seem to appreciate the international taste of the food compared to the traditional Indian curry they're accustomed to. The first Indian franchise opened in August near the capital, New Delhi, that immediately piqued local interest despite the challenges restaurants are facing during the pandemic. For the past 5 years, 51-year-old artist Hank Cheng can usually be found in his studio creating handcrafted miniature worlds that fuse reality with fiction. Cheng's creative imagination for these miniature sets ranged from a 40-year-old grocery store in central Taiwan to an imaginary secret maintenance base. The award-winning artist sat down and talked about his passion and dedication to making ideas come to life.
No matter whether it's clean, old, or dirty, anything that you can think of and are willing to bring up with me, as long as it's doable, I want to try to make it happen. When people ask me, is there anything I can't make, I joke that only air and sunshine.
Hikari Yang, who is also a miniature model artist, started creating her models at a time in her life where she was feeling low. She could recall back to working on her first model and feeling healed once she completed it. In 2016, she started FM Diorama Studio in Taiwan, northern Taiwan, with several other partners. The group's portfolio ranges from real life to sci-fi scenes. Each scene contains much detail and takes about 8 to 9 months to complete. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman. You can see our Business Scene report on the VOA Asia YouTube channel. Check it out.
Coronavirus questions. Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take, wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you are sick or advised to by local authorities.
Now on VOA Asia, on September 14th, famous video sharing app TikTok confirmed it will become business partners with Oracle, foregoing Microsoft's bid. That decision comes weeks after the Trump administration said the Chinese-owned TikTok is a security risk. Anoush Avetisyan has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
The announcement between U.S.-based Oracle Systems and ByteDance, the company that owns TikTok, is seen as one way to avoid a potential ban in the U.S.
This is a big move for Oracle. So Oracle is using this both to increase its stature in the tech world, but also to drive business to its cloud offerings.
The move comes after U.S. President Trump signed an executive order in August that would have banned the social media app in the U.S. on September 15th because of security concerns. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says his department will be examining the deal in the coming days to see if the deal is secure. TikTok collects data on its estimated 100 million active U.S. users, and the fear is that that information could go to the Chinese government.
The app is really good at picking out content that you're going to want to see. That's what sticky is. It keeps your eyeballs glued to the page. So ByteDance didn't want to give up the app, which is very valuable.
The Chinese foreign minister labeled the move a forced deal. But critics say there are legitimate security concerns.
And as we all know, the Chinese government is not shy about asking their companies to do them favors when it comes to spying. So there was always that risk there.
The Chinese government did not want to give up TikTok and had originally threatened to shut down the app instead of selling it. Industry watchers say a partnership as opposed to an outright sale might allow both countries to declare a win in the war over TikTok. For Anoush Avetisyan in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
This is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. As the pandemic continues to put enormous stress on first responders and healthcare workers, a constant worry is a shortage of personal protective equipment, such as face shields and masks. Researchers from universities across the United States have been working on ways to sanitize masks and create shields. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has details.
Ozone is one of many tools researchers are experimenting with to help doctors and nurses extend the life of their personal protective equipment, or PPEs, inexpensively.
It reacts with a lot of different molecules in biology and is a very good way to kill microorganisms like bacteria and other pathogens like viruses.
Widely used to disinfect drinking water and food, ozone is being tested on PPEs by academics, including researchers at Georgia Institute of Technology. When placed in an ozone-generating closet with a humid environment, not only can the highly reactive gas kill germs, it also does not damage most materials except for a small part of a face mask.
Certain kinds of rubber, as in the elastic bands on headbands for masks, which is what we tested among other things, that kind of elastic material can be damaged by ozone.
In addition to ozone, Texas A&M University researchers are also trying to use an electron beam or e-beam to kill pathogens. The effect?
Whether it's a virus or a bacteria or a fungus, isn't able to reproduce anymore.
Widely used to sterilize medical devices, when the e-beam is used on N95 masks.
Even a low-level dose, the efficiency dropped from, say, 95% of particles at 300 nanometers down to about 65 or 70% of particles.
The masks are filtering out fewer particles because of their design. While the holes are small enough to filter out particles of a certain size, there is also an electrostatic component of an N95 mask.
The mask actually has an electric charge on it. When very, very small particles come in, they're attracted to the fibers of the mask and they stick to it. With our irradiation technique, we disrupted the charges that were on the mask, and this electrostatic portion of it wasn't doing its job.
While researchers continue to investigate the e-beam's impact on N95 masks, engineers at the university are also creating new face shields for hospitals with high-velocity water jets and 3D printers. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology has designed face shields for doctors and nurses. MIT engineers have also designed a reusable face mask for silicone rubber, the same material used in cooking utensils, so it can be sterilized in many different ways.
Whether it be autoclaving, which is one of the ways that we clean things at a hospital and labs, which is high temperature and pressure, by high heat also, such as in ovens, and or with chlorine.
Similar to how Lego bricks are created, this silicone mask is made using injection molding and includes N95 filters that use less material than a disposable N95 mask. Creators are now in the process of submitting the mask for approval from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration with the hope of having a mask like this available for general use in the next few months. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
As deadly wildfires rage across the United States West Coast, millions of people have been left struggling with some of the world's worst air pollution. More from reporter Gloria Tso.
Thick smoke blanketing the U.S. West has become the devastating norm for millions of Americans battling some of the world's worst air pollution. Deadly wildfires have set ablaze nearly 5 million acres across the region, enormous plumes of ash and smoke spreading through the air, making it difficult for many locals just to breathe. It's a major public health risk compounded by the ongoing difficulties of the coronavirus pandemic. California resident Liliana Osuguera.
But, you know, up here, it's completely different. We gotta, you know, make sure that we keep the windows closed. And when I was little, I suffered with asthma. So, you know, now my child's, like, more prone to asthma. So I have to make sure that, you know, like, he's okay. And, I've never seen anything like it.
Air pollution is linked to diseases like asthma, lung cancer, heart disease, and early death. And it's hit historically hazardous levels in cities across California and Oregon, where hospitals have reported a 10% increase in emergency room visits for breathing problems, and doctors are being inundated with calls from worried patients. Wildfire smoke mostly carries fine particulate matter from burning trees and plants, which are already harmful. But smoke from devastated communities can also contain toxic chemicals from burned plastic and other man-made materials, polluting not only the air, but also nearby waterways or soils. Dr. Gopal Alada, who specializes in studying respiratory diseases, explains.
So these are really tiny particles. And the problem with these particulate matter is that they are well adept to getting into the deeper parts of the lung and cause a certain degree of inflammation, which results in symptoms such as shortness of breath, coughing, and wheezing.
Alada says wildfire pollution can also make people more susceptible to COVID-19. But he says the best masks for filtering smoke are the same N95 face coverings doctors desperately need to treat COVID patients. However, it remains difficult to help people find respite from the bad air, other than to recommend staying home and indoors.
Reuters correspondent Gloria Tso. The pandemic is making people think of unique entertainment ideas, especially those who know how difficult it is to keep children busy during quarantine. Virginia resident Andrea Diaz, who grew up in Peru, came up with an unusual way to keep everyone entertained. Maxim Muskalkov has our story.
Alpacas Pisco and Chewy are spending a hot summer day at a backyard party. As they play, they entertain children, who, due to the pandemic, couldn't go to summer camps and had to skip vacation. Owner Andrea Diaz grew up in Peru, where alpacas are sometimes kept as pets. When she moved to the U.S., she realized she didn't want to give up the family tradition.
These guys live inside my house, and they never were supposed to do anything besides my pets. But then COVID happened, and plans changed, right? So I wanted to join the parades that teachers were doing for the kids because they were stuck at home.
Alpacas are extremely friendly and sociable. They don't kick, they don't bite, and most importantly, they don't spit.
The alpacas are so cute and fluffy, and people just love them in general, you know? So it was a great reaction. The kids love them, and it gives some families something to do, too. The families would come, and they want to bring the kids as well.
Maxim Moskalko for VOA News, Vienna, Virginia.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Please stay safe and yet enjoy the day ahead.